I call this meeting of Senate Rules Committee to order. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Chairman Esmond.
Here.
Vice Chair Olson.
Here.
Senator Balliet.
Here.
Senator Blewett. Senator Brendan. Senator Brown. Senator Gallus.
Here.
Senator Gillen. Senator Hawks.
Here.
Senator Gent. Senator Keane.
Here.
Senator Lewis.
Here.
Senator Peterson. Senator Ripley.
Here.
Senator Shockley.
Yes, ma'am.
Senator Tuckett.
Here.
Senator Vincent. Senator Wanzenreed. Senator Williams. Thank you.
Quorum by one.
For short?
No, we got it.
Peterson's on his way down, too.
There's more on the way.
There's 18 on the committee. Correct?
I believe it's 19.
Have you got the count? Well, you, where's the roll?
There's 10 here with Senator Ripley, and he checked in.
There's 10 here right now.
So we're good then.
And there's 18 total?
19.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Mr. Everts, would you review our agenda today, I believe?
Mr. Chairman, on your agenda, you have Senate Joint Resolution 1, which is the Joint Rules, and then Senate Resolution 1, which is the Senate Rules. You treat these resolutions as bills, so it's a straight hearings process as the sponsor of the Joint Rules and the Senate Rules. You'll open up on the resolutions, and the Vice Chair will conduct the proceedings, Mr. Chair.
Okay, let's take Senate Resolution 1 first, and I will open. Where they got me?
We'll open up the hearing on Senate Resolution 1. Senator Esmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Rules Committee. I bring to you today Senate Resolution 1, which is the which will be the standing rules for the Senate this coming legislative session. These rules incorporate a few number of changes that were proposed by the Legislative Council during the interim, and I'll briefly go through those. On the first page, just a replacement with Senate rules. These were rules changes largely suggested by our departing legal counsel, Greg Pettish, in order to just provide future legislators with more clarity in terms of their work with the rules. On page 2, that subsection 5 of S10-50 was deleted because the press handling of press on the floor is now an item that is subject of the joint rules, and it's treated in a uniform manner in the joint rules that still allows the speaker and the president to control floor access in matters of decorum by the press. Since there is no accreditation process for members of the press in the state of Montana, the language in the joint rules that deals with that subject will now refer to registered members of the press. You will see that language appearing on page 7, on line 8, under the S20-50 dealing with floor privileges. On page 9, line 6, there is a clarification that was discussed at our meeting on December 15, or 13 and 14, that ex officio, which means non-voting member, now says ex officio non-voting members. There are other changes to the captions. On pages 16 and 17, there's some clarifications there just in terms of which motions, which floor motions are non-debatable. The change in lines 1, 2, and 3 on page 19 is a change to, with respect to when a motion to reconsider after a break in Senate action is in order. This is to deal with the situation that arose last session after transmittal break. Clarification appears in Rule S50-100. Page 21, these were all suggestions suggested by Mr. Pettish in order to disclarify, have it in these cross-references in the rules for our convenience. And the changes on page 25 dealing with submission of nominations was to conform and clarify with respect to the procedure that was followed in the last session for Senate approval of executive branch nominations. I think that pretty much covers it. If members of the committee have any questions, I will refer them to Susan Fox. Thank you. Mr. Chairman.
Questions from the committee? Testimony. Seeing no questions, Senator Esmond.
Thank you for your good work.
Mr. Chairman, you need a motion?
Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Rules Committee adopt the proposed rules under Senate Resolution Number 1.
Senator Tutbett.
Mr. Chairman, do we need public comment?
Offered.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Senator Gallas.
I think for the record and for the minutes that we should delineate between a hearing and the executive action. So we need to go into an executive action before we can make a motion and vote on the bill.
Good point.
And I believe the chairman did ask for public comment, and he asked for testimony, and no one stood up.
And thank you for your comment, Senator Gallas. That closes the hearing on Senate Resolution Number 1, and I'll turn it over to the chairman for executive action.
Is there a motion on the floor?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Peterson.
I move that we adopt the rules as presented before us on Senate Resolution Number 1.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Discussion by members of the committee?
Question.
Question having been called for by Senator Gallas. All those in favor of the motion to adopt Senate Joint Resolution 1 indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. I will again turn the chairmanship of the meeting over to the vice chair.
We'll open the hearing on Senate Joint Resolution Number 1. Senator Esmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I bring before you this morning Senate Joint Resolution Number 1. This are the proposed joint rules of the Senate and House of the State of Montana. The you previously, at the December 13th meeting, had a chart of the changes that were presented with respect to these rules. Is it the pleasure of the committee I go through these by detail?
Pleasure that you not.
Okay. then I will dispense with that line by line, page by page review. It came to staff brought to my attention two proposed amendments that we can deal with after, when the time becomes right, conforming language that has no impact on the intent of the other rules, but just insertion of some words in a couple of spots that were missed during the drafting process.
That we can cover in the executive.
Yes, we can. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll stand ready to refer questions to Susan Fox if there are any.
Thank you, Senator Essman. Comments? Public testimony? Seeing none, questions from the committee?
Was there some public testimony?
Bizarre procedure, isn't it?
Senator Williams.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Essman, could you go over, I remember during the time we met before, we changed the transmittal deadline for referendum bills. And could you go through a little bit?
What the timing is on that?
And why?
Yes, this is a change to set forth the submission of bills proposing referendum that sets a date for that request deadline as of day 62 in the process. I think there's a conforming change elsewhere in terms of transmittal for those. Page 19. Thank you, Susan. That they must be transmitted to the other house by the 71st legislative day. So those are the two changes.
Senator Balliot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just in response to Senator Williams' question, my recollection, as I recall, there were two reasons why we set that later date with respect to referenda, and I can only remember one of them off the top of my head. That one was that that since referenda don't deal with the executive branch, you don't need to have as early a deadline on referenda as you do on bills, because with a bill, the executive branch can veto it or do an amendatory veto, and you've got to go back and forth several more times, especially if one house accepts it and the other house doesn't. Whereas with a referenda, since you're not dealing with the executive branch, you don't need to have as much time for an amendatory veto. It seems to me there was one other reason that we used that later date as well, but I can't remember what it was at this point, if anybody could.
And it's revenue for some reason. Statutory.
Senator Wansenried.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wasn't able to attend the last Rules Committee, and I'm wondering, does anybody know what the other reason is? It seems to me the first explanation is a solution in search of a problem. I don't remember from my having served that we've ever had a problem having an earlier transmittal date for referenda. So I kind of understand that there would be a reason for that, but does anybody know what the other reason is?
Senator Tutbeck.
I believe, Mr. Chairman, we talked about the fact that it was, they were sitting out there in the rules. Wasn't it there was different days on different things, and we thought it cleaned up the rules, and also what Joe said, it was kind of we fixed two things at once.
Revenue transmittal statute.
Any additional questions? Senator Peterson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think the reason for the later deadline also was to tie it closer to a transmittal date on revenue issues. And I'm trying to sit here and recall exactly whether that was tied to statutory issues, but it was tied to have a little later date with regard to revenue, and those were the two reasons that I recall. Because there's a later transmittal date with regard to revenue issues.
Any additional comments for the sponsor or questions for the sponsor? I think we can handle the rest of it in executive session. Seeing none, would the sponsor care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response to Senator Peterson's remarks and to clarify also for Senator Williams, there was one other change in schedule that I failed to address in my response, and I apologize, and I'll do it now in my close with your permission. And that is on page 19. We did clarify that the question of suspending or otherwise changing the allocation of revenues would be considered a revenue bill, and that is subject to that later 67th or 71st day transmittal deadline. So I think that was the other area, but that does not directly tie to the referendum question. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Chairman. That closes the hearing on Senate Joint Resolution number 1.
Members of the committee, that the hearing on Senate Joint Resolution number 1 having been closed, let's move to executive action on Senate Joint Resolution number 1. Can I see a motion?
Mr. Chairman, move the adoption of Senate Joint Resolution number 1.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Are there any amendments?
There are some amendments.
Vice Chairman Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I would move an amendment. Amendment number 1, page 11, line 27. The amendment is SJ000101.ASB.
Copies of that are being handed out.
Yeah, they're coming down there.
Oh.
On page 11, line 27, following pre-introduction, insert of an agency, committee, or individual legislator's bill.
And this, Senator Olson, this amendment was prepared by Susan Fox. Susan, would you address the need for this amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Last year, when you changed the pre-introduction deadline for agency bills to December 15th, we didn't foresee the problem that this time, in the strict reading of the rule, my associates informed me that we could not restrict the individual legislator's pre-introduction deadline to December 15th. And that caused quite a bit of consternation, at least before we had it right at Christmas Eve and we knew that there was a deadline. But because that paragraph deals more with agency legislation, we did not feel we had the authority to tell an individual legislator that they couldn't pre-introduce a bill after December 15th. Well, what that caused was a backlog of bills that we kept downstairs in the basement awaiting to see if they needed to be pre-introduced before we could take them upstairs. And even today and yesterday, I've received numerous pre-introduction letters which after session starts doesn't make any sense. So what we're asking for is to make the pre-introduction deadline for individual legislators' bills the same as the agency bills, keeping it at December 15th, but to clarify that we can cut off pre-introduction at that time in order to be able to, for us to get the bills processed in an orderly fashion, bill backed, ready for delivery, just as you're getting notices today and tomorrow about the bills that are ready for delivery, and then you can hand introduce them in the traditional manner. So it's a procedural thing that will help us and the House and Senate staff, I believe, process the bills more efficiently.
Thank you, Ms. Fox. Members of the committee, any questions for Ms. Fox? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion?
Any discussion of the motion to adopt the amendment?
Question.
Question having been called, all those in favor of adopting Amendment SJ000101.ASB indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion amendment goes on the bill. Senator Olson.
We have another one. Let's pass it.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Amendment SJ000101.ATE. Copies are being passed around.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Mr. Everts, would you care to explain this amendment?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is basically a non-substantive amendment on line 9, page 19. There's a series of exceptions to what constitutes a bill and what the transmittal deadline is. And since we've now included a referendum as an exception in subsection C on lines 15 and 16, it made sense to include that in the exception lists on subsection B1 and subsection B2, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Everts, questions from the committee? Senator Gent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this does is adds to I want to make sure first I know what the change does. At page 19, line 9, it accepts from the transmittal deadline on line 9 a bill proposing a referendum, so we put that in the same status as a revenue bill. And on page 19, line 13, it accepts and then puts on the 73rd legislative day bills proposing referenda. Can someone answer me, is that what we're doing first?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, Senator, that's correct, because down in lines 15 and 16, we've included bills proposing referendum to be equal to revenue bills in terms of transmittal on the 71st day. And all those exceptions that are listed in B1 and B2 are exceptions to the normal transmittal deadlines for amendments and bills.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions from the committee?
Question.
Seeing none, question having been called, the question before the committee is adoption of Amendment SJ000101.ATE as an amendment to Senate Joint Resolution Number 1. All those in favor of adoption of the amendment indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Motion is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Joint Resolution 1 as amended.
Thank you. Senator Olson, discussion from the committee? Senator Wansenreed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Perhaps you could help me out here. I just want to make sure I've got this down as a sponsor of the bill. with the language that we've amended into the bill on page 12, the introduction of bills proposing referenda can be now requested up until the 67th day, or 62nd day. Is that correct, Mr. Chairman?
That is correct.
On page 19, we now have language that says the transmittal of those bills from one house to the other can now be done as late as the 71st legislative day. Is that correct, Mr. Chairman?
That is correct.
Okay. I'd like just to speak to the process more than the amendments themselves. It seems to me that during the session, and especially in the Senate, that'll be during the time that we're going to be very busy. And I'd just like to indulge the majority to consider the consequences of having bills introduced that late in the midst of all the other work that's being done. There's always a lot of talk about transparency and having the public being able to participate. And I'm just hoping in the rush of business that there's not going to be a tendency to schedule hearings on the shortest notice possible, and that we afford every opportunity to the public to be able to participate, because these proposed laws are just as important as ones that we actually have earlier transmittal dates on. And I'd just like to ask that the majority at least consider that as it moves this language forward in the rules, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. I am sure that the Senate and the House will conduct our affairs in a manner that's open and accessible. And these referendum, obviously, since they are referred to the voters, will have, you know, in terms of their discussion and adoption by the voters, will have a full opportunity for full and public participation in this process, as well as our own.
Senator Peters?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Wassenried, there is a clear intent here to extend the deadline, no question about it. There is no intent here to try to do anything that would cloud transparency or prevent the public from having input, and I will commit to making sure that we provide every opportunity for transparency and public input.
Senator Balliott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Some of the conversation we had on this whole issue of the referendum deadline is kind of coming back to me as we're discussing it, and some of this might shed some light on Senator Wassenried's concerns. As I remember our discussion, that if you look at page 12 on the current deadlines, referenda aren't even listed there, absent our amendment. And so referenda had no specific deadline spelled out. You'll also note that if you look at resolutions, they have no deadline whatsoever, not even the 67th day or the 71st day or anything. And the rationale that I had always heard on that in the past is you don't need any earlier deadline for resolutions because they don't involve the executive branch. The other issue that was a little bit confusing to me was that you could have a referendum that is a revenue bill. And absent, if you were going to refer some sort of revenue bill to the voters, if the legislature felt we ought to have the voters vote on this rather than us just passing it with the executive branch. And absent our amendments, it gets kind of confusing. If it's a referendum that involves revenue, is it subject to the regular bill deadline or is it subject to the revenue bill deadline? And so I felt it was partly clarifying how soon a revenue bill would have to be referred to the a referenda revenue bill would have to be referred to the other house. The other thing that I think might directly impact what Senator Wassenried is concerned about is that, in my experience in the legislature, almost every time I've seen, I shouldn't say every time, but most of the times I've seen a referendum brought forth, it was usually a rerun of a bill that had been brought earlier in the session that had a full hearing and everybody testified in favor or against it, but the particular legislator sponsoring the bill decided I'm not going to be able to get it passed get enough votes to pass it as a bill, but I think I might be able to get a majority vote to at least pass it on to the voters to see if they would accept it. And so then they basically take the same bill that they previously run as a bill and bring it forth as a referendum instead. And so I think when that happens, it actually has two hearings and may have even more light shed on it than just a regular bill. I don't know if I'm explaining that very good, but it seems to me like in those cases, at least, it's going to get plenty of hearing.
Thank you, Senator Balliot. Further questions or discussion from the committee? Senator Williams.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I just, because it was the Rules Committee, there were several of our members that weren't there. And we did have a long discussion about this. I did not vote for this amendment because I don't think that a resolution and a referendum are the same things. Resolutions, as we know, are intended to tell somebody something but not make them, like we can't make them act or do anything. The referendums that we're hearing about, especially this session, have big consequences and really do need to have total public input. And there were several of us during that meeting that voted against this change. But it passed and it's in here, and I don't agree with that particular section, but of course I'll vote for the rules.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I guess when you sit down and you look at referendums, initiatives, I would say that any referendums coming out of this body get considerably more discussion than an initiative. In the end, it still ends up going through the same process as an initiative. The people will get to decide to vote. You've got a good 18 months after it passes before it goes on the ballot. It'll be up for public hearings, public comment, and a vote by this body and a vote by the House. I really don't see any problem with bringing up referendums, especially that late in the game.
Senator Jent.
Mr. Chairman, this kind of reminds me of Ross Perot when he was going to have a national referendum. We're going to have everybody get on the computer and just vote on everything. The reason we got picked to be up here at the Capitol and be senators is we're supposed to deliberate on this stuff, and we're supposed to decide it, and we're supposed to respect the process, which includes the process of having it vetoed by a governor of the other party, which I'm sure is why, many of us voted to uphold some of Governor Martz's vetoes. And I would suggest to you that once you set a precedence in the rules by having a referendum on matters that ordinarily would be perhaps undoable under certain situations or certain houses or the committee you didn't want your bill to go to, and having it referendumed later, that you might reap what you sow. So I think this super elevating referendums as part of the legislative process is a bad idea. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Jent. Senator Gallis?
Question. Reserve comment question.
Okay, thank you. Question having been called for, the motion before the committee is adoption of Senate Joint Resolution Number 1. Shall we try a voice vote? Okay. All in favor of adoption of Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 with the two amendments that were attached, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Please raise your hands so we can record the no votes. Wanson, Reed, Gillen, Hawks, Gent, Keene.
I have Gent, Wanson, Reed, Gillen, Hawks, and King as voting no. Motion carries.
Motion is adopted. Is there, Mr. Everts, is there further business before the committee this morning?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Members of the committee, thank you for your service. The Rules Committee will stand adjourned, subject to the call by the chairman. Thank you. Service, the Rules Committee will stand adjourned.